वासुदेवाय।
Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 11, entitled The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna, text number 4. Bala uchur aneneti,
Bala uchur aneneti,
Tiryagatamulu khalam, Tiryagatamulu khalam, Vikarshita madhyagena, Vikarshata madhyagena, Purushavapyachakshmahi, Purushavapyachakshmahi. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Then all the cowherd boys said, "It's Krishna who has done this. When he was in between the two trees, the mortar fell crosswise. Krishna dragged the mortar and the two trees fell down. After that, two beautiful men came out of the trees. We have seen this with our own eyes." Purport. Krishna's playmates wanted to inform Krishna's father of the exact situation by explaining that not only did the trees break, but out of the broken trees came two beautiful men. "All these things happened," they said. "We have seen them with our own eyes." We are practically coming to the end of this beautiful pastime of Damodar, the Lord being bound with ropes of Mother Yashoda. Krishna has pulled these two trees down. They have come down with a crashing sound. Nanda Maharaj, who is around in the fields, came running and saw these huge trees, and right in the center, little Krishna crawling, tied by a rope to a wooden grinding mortar. And he wants to know what happened. And the children who were watching are just telling what they saw. So the wooden grinding mortar fell crosswise. Krishna was dragging, came in between the trees. He went ahead. The mortar got stuck crosswise between the trees. Krishna gave one pull and the two trees came down. Arjuna trees, it was expressed by one devotee in Vrindavan, they are so deep rooted that even in storms, in some island he expressed, some islands, when there's a big storm, sometimes houses collapse. Some trees flow away, but the only things that remain are the Arjuna trees. Because they have very deep roots. So it's not just a tree. That itself is an amazing thing. But it's the Yamala Arjuna tree. And not just trees which had grown recently. Standing there for literally thousands of years. And Krishna just one tug, the whole thing came crashing down. And just seeing, we saw it. Not only that, to add to this, This itself is too difficult to digest. In addition, they are giving another digestive. It says, from there came two other persons, beautiful demigod looking person in there, offered prayers to Krishna, thanked him and went away. Nanda Maharaj couldn't believe it. Pashyannapi na pashyati. They saw or they heard direct. Aankho dekha hal. They saw. They couldn't believe it. Even we see so many magic that Krishna performs all around us. But we don't see. Pashyannapi na pashyati. Just yesterday, day before yesterday, Krishna Chandra Prabhu gave an amazing, very sweet and simple class about the miracle that's happening all around us every moment. The mere fact that a dead body is sitting here and speaking. He may say, Prabhuji, dead body. It's actually, what is this body? This body is nothing but a combination of bones and flesh and whatnot, all the other substances. If you had an X-ray eyes, we may be aghast looking at it, obnoxious. And this body is speaking. And all of you are hearing. What's making just the speech to come out? Just speech to come out and you hearing it, if you hear the physiological explanation, you will faint. Every second, every word being made. First of all, the cells in the head, especially in an area called Broca's area, which is in the frontal lobe of the brain, decides what you want to speak, what words. And it has a full amazing thing of words to choose. I'm thinking now, which word to speak? It's like going into a library which has billions of books, and or in front of a, you go in front of a dress wardrobe, and you say, today, which one should I choose? And matching. Everything should match. The top and the bottom should match. Then all the other paraphernalia should match. Similarly, the intelligence is choosing, what should I speak? Which word combination? Is it grammatically right? Is it the correct lexicon? From a host of, you know, data that is there. And then picking up the right thing, putting them grammatically right. And after that, it sends neurotransmitters between two cells, just kind of some chemicals are released. And they come and tell what you have to speak. And those, the nerves are supplying the diaphragm and the chest. And they say, we need energy. Air to speak, isn't it? Air needs to be, it has to compress. Air has to come out. So the lungs have to pump out the air. But simply air coming out, you won't understand anything. Then just the air has to come through larynx, the voice box. And there are two flaps which constantly vibrate. In males, between 120 to 210 times per second. This is 300. This is 350. You know, sare ga ma pa. Females, they don't have this voice box. Adam's apple. It's called Adam's apple because it extends. There is a low frequency. And in male, it is because of this extension after puberty. Suddenly there's a voice break, they say. That's because the extension of the cord and then, you know, produces low frequency. And in women, it is little high. The highest is in children. So it's maybe 400 times per second. And because it is close to the women's voice, that's why Lata Mangeshkar sings for all the children. Then they vibrate, but then it is just coming out. Then there is a vocal cavity from here to the lips. There is a vocal cavity. And the cavity has to adjust, A, E, U, whichever vowel you want to say, which consonant you want to say, the tongue has to say, he has to tell K. That means the back of the tongue should hit the palate, back of the palate, K, K, G. Or, you know, two lips, come on, B, B, B. Or Ch, 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 you know, the tip of the tongue has to come and touch the, just behind the teeth. And then, you know, if they are retroflex sounds, ta, then it has to go down and then throw. Da, da, da. Because I'm a speech therapist, studied for 5 years, it has to be used in Krishna's service. And then grammatically, right, and then you have. And then, that's coming out, these vibrations, they hit your eardrum. The eardrum has to vibrate. The vibration of the eardrum is caught by three little bones, the malleus, the incus, and the stapes. And the three bones go like this, like in a particular motion. And the third bone is attached to another window. That window vibrates. That window moves in the cochlea. It's like a conch shell. That's like the cochlea in our eyes, I mean in our ears, within the ear. There are some solution. That solution is moved because of the window moving. And that solution moves some hair cells. And the hair cells move because of the movement of the solution. And the movement is caught by a cell, caught by another nerve. And that goes to the area in the temporal lobe, left side or right, left side basically. And there it is, these vibrations or neurochemical changes are perceived as sound and given a meaning over a period of time. We are trained. What is this, beta? Huh? Lid, yes. If you go in Russia and say lid, they don't understand. So these completely some kind of sounds are given a meaning in the head. And all this, what I spoke, it took about 10-15 minutes to speak, is happening microseconds. There was, in Reader's Digest, they were bringing out, I'm Joe and Joe's body and Jane's body. Every part of the body would speak. Very beautiful, amazing. A composition of, you know, like, very intellectual person, well-versed technical knowledge, but knew how to relate to the layman without kind of, you know, going over their head. Each part of the body is telling its story, how I function. How many cells I have, the brain is telling. The liver speaks one time. It was like a continuous series. Every time a body is speaking. Amazing. We see, but we don't see. Pashyanna pina pashyati. We are seeing a tree bringing out flower. Just see a flower. Just see a fruit, a coconut. It's simply amazing, miraculous. No scientist can ever, with all their good intelligence and all the ability at their disposal, all the skills, all their knowledge, cannot duplicate this. And even their so-called duplication is so falling, you know, short. Almost as close. And people pay a lot of money to go and see that. One painting, whoo, it looks as good as the real one. $20 million, like Krishna was telling. $12 million, a painting of some flower. But the same flower you see, sunflower. And then you see sunflowers in a field of them. So kya? Bhagwan kar sakte hai na? Nature, whose nature? Pashyan api na pashyati. So the boys had clear faith. Oh, why can't Krishna do? Krishna pulled and they fell. Very matter-of-factly. For those who have faith, nothing is surprising. Faith in what? Faith in the inconceivable power of the Lord. That is the beginning of bhakti. Bhakti begins with adau shraddha. Faith in what? Faith in what is impossible for the Lord. Similarly, for a devotee, what's impossible? Impossible is in the dictionary of fools. Jagannath Prabhu was giving an amazing realization a few days back. He said, rope in and of itself couldn't pull the trees down. The ukhal in and of itself could not have pulled the trees down. Because of their connection with Krishna, they pulled it. So ukhal could have said, Krishna aage the, main to asli dhakka mara. Probably. No. It was in connection with Krishna that even an ukhal can do amazing thing. The tree could have broken. I mean, the rope could have broken. The rope could have easily crashed, or the wooden mortar would have crashed. It would have broken into two. But it didn't. Because Krishna was in touch. They were in touch with Krishna. Similarly, even for a devotee, nothing is impossible. If a person is in touch with Krishna. Nimitta matra bhavasavya sachi. Tasmato uttishtha yasho labhasva. Conquer all this. It's a huge ocean. And here's a little Arjun instead of, you know, Kaurava sainya sagaram. Vittimingala fish. With Bhishma, Drona. Individually, Arjuna could have never handled it. Because he was in touch with Krishna on the chariot. Yes. What's impossible? This is faith. Faith in the inconceivable power of the Lord. This seemingly a sweet pastime, no doubt, but also seemingly an ordinary pastime. Krishna was bound by his mother because he was mischievous. And Krishna was crying, and then he pulled, and the trees fell, and two people came out, and they went back, finished. Seemingly. But so many amazing realizations. So much. You know, every aspect of this pastime, Krishna's pastime, is also inconceivable. Unlimited. Everything about him is unlimited. Narada is another amazing personality. Narada, one who can give Narayan to others, whomever he meets, because he is inspired to move around simply by the inspiration of the Lord. He has no will of his own. Thy will be done. He reaches at the right place at the right time and gives the right medicine. Perfect. Not too much, not too less. Why? Because he has no other desire than to be an instrument in the hands of the Lord, he knows exactly where to reach at the right time. He reached Vyasdev just when he needed. He reached Dhruva just when he needed. He instructed Prahlad just when it was needed. He told Prachina Varishad, just Prachetas, just when it is needed. And in this case, here are these Nalakuvara and Manigriva, sons of the biggest rich man, or rich man amongst the demigods too, Kubera, frolicking in the Mandakini Ganga, right in the garden of Lord Shiva, in that particular region which belonged to him, in his pleasure gardens, and naturally surrounded by very lovely heavenly damsels. And Narada walks in, another devotee maid, just trying to collect so much nectar that was flowing in the last 1.5 months through this very place. I'm gathering and sharing. Different people respond differently to this situation. If Ajamil would have seen this, he would have also jumped before he became a devotee, of course. Shaubari Muni was inside. He saw. He also got affected. So some people get affected when they see these kind of sense gratification going on. A person get affected. If Shukadeva Goswami were to be passing, he would have said, wouldn't make a difference to him. Indifferent. But when Narada saw, his heart was full of compassion. He wanted to rectify things. This is the difference between a karmi, a jnani, and a bhakta. Many people go to the West and they never come back. Enthralled and impressed and inspired by the kind of facilities and the enjoyment there. The others, Mera Bharat Mahan. Good enough. They're knowledgeable. We can appreciate certain things here, which is lacking there. So not impressed by these things, but knowledgeable, you know, begin to. But then there is Prabhupada wanting to go there. Goal of life was to reach somehow. Because the order of his guru was go to the headquarters of sense gratification. There is a change there, all the branches will be affected. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told, go to London. Because at that time, British Empire was practically ruling. So the headquarters, people take it everywhere. People will take. But Prabhupada in 60s realized that headquarters have shifted. British Empire, of course, sun never rises there now. Sun had set in the British Empire at that time. He said, the American Empire subtly is controlling the whole planet. So something happens there everywhere. The influence will be felt, and we see it when he brought the white dancing elephants. So he went there. He was not impressed, as Bhavanand Prabhu mentioned, spitting at him. He was not impressed. He impressed himself, his views, his ideologies, his realizations upon them out of compassion. So Narada went there and decided to rectify. And Narada knew that's an excellent preacher. A preacher knows what to do in a situation to have the best result. The result is transformation and elevation. That person should be elevated to a higher platform, and there should be some transformation. Transformation in his thoughts, transformation in his lifestyle, transformation in his attitude, transformation in his perspective towards the truth. Otherwise, what is the point? You win the battle, but you lose the war. If you defeat him, but then haven't impressed. This morning, I received a very nice SMS. Care from Muralidhar Prabhu. Care means to express, not to impress. Genuine care is to express one's love and not to impress. And when we care truthfully, care expressed truthfully naturally impresses. impresses naturally. So here was a pure devotee of the Lord, Narada, seeing this situation full of compassion, knew exactly what he should do. Why? Because Narada was an experienced preacher. He had experienced the same situation 2 lifetimes ago. He was an Upadevata. He was also a Gandharva. He was also always surrounded by beautiful women. He was pious. He was beautiful. He was talented. He had charisma. He had skills, singing skills. People would invite him for Sankirtan festivals in the upper planetary system. And the Prajapatis invited them, the great devotees. They invited, special invitation to Upabharana. And he walked in, full of himself. And when he started singing, everyone was listening, including himself. That was the difficulty. It was a Sankirtan festival, Harinam Sankirtan. But it is described in the Bhagavatam 7th canto. Narada himself says, very humbly, says, he was singing, and Bhurijan Prabhu very nicely expressed, he was not glorifying the Lord, he was glorifying some demigods. But neither the Lord nor the demigod were the focus of his singing. It was he. I am singing. I am the singing this particular song. Prabhupada goes to the extent writing in the purport. So he started singing some film songs. And these people saw, phew, such a facility, such an ability, and this person is misusing it in such a responsible position as an Upadevata, as a Gandharva. What is one life? As Bhurijan Prabhu expressed in one particular seminar of his, he says, one life is nothing but a fistful of karma from a godown of our Sanchita karma. Millions of lifetimes of good and bad activity that we have done, nature picks up one fistful and poof, you get one body. One body is, one lifetime is nothing but a fistful of karma from the, you know, bottomless pit of our karmic reactions, good and bad. And pride means to think that it has come by my own accord. So that's the root cause of not seeing. Pashyannapi na pashyati. They saw Narada, but they didn't see. Pashyannapi na pashyati. They were covered by pride, arrogance. Janmaishwarya Shuta Srivir Edhamana Madha. Edhamana. Janma, high birth. Aishwarya, wealth. Shruta, high learning. Shri, physical beauty. These are so intoxicating. Some good karma, a bunch of good karma, some good grains must have come in that. That's all. Therefore we have, it's just insignificant, this last fleeting thing. But we become so much absorbed in that, self-absorption causes forgetfulness. Pride actually causes forgetfulness and humility causes remembrance. When a person really becomes humble, he remembers. He never forgets. But a person is proud, he forgets. One devotee was expressing during Gajendra Leela, I was hearing, Gajendra Moksha. Gajendra was so full of himself, the king of the elephants. Again, surrounded by his female companions, and he would go, and even the tigers and lions would offer obeisances from a distance and go away. When he would move, he was really, you know, like a person to deal with. And he was also again frolicking amongst the enjoying himself in full intoxication. And the crocodile came. That crocodile was Krishna's mercy. Came and grabbed him. And fight. But eventually it led to realizing his actual position. Humility means to see the reality. And what's the reality? We are insignificant, and born of that humility is dependence. We are so much dependent on everyone, on the Lord and His mercy and His blessings. Otherwise we can't survive, we can't have a good thought, one good word can't come out, one good action cannot be done. How foolish in pride, influenced by pride, that a person can forget all the good that has been done, all the blessings that he has received. He thinks it's by my, it's my achievement, my personal endeavor. Self-made man. What belongs to you? Everything is borrowed property. And naturally born of that dependence is gratitude. One sadhu told very nicely, the secret of happiness. He said, if you really want to become happy, just do this. He said, instantly forget two things and never forget two things. You will always be happy. And there's tremendous wisdom in it. And after hearing this pastime, I got extra realization or deeper understanding. Realization is too deep. Understanding. He said, you really want to be happy, instantly forget two things. What is that? All the good that you did to others, instantly forget. And all the bad that others did to you, instantly forget. If you really want to be happy. And never forget two things. All the good that others did to you and all the bad that you did to others. Don't forget. And you will always be happy. It impressed me. I liked that quotation, but theek hai. But when I heard this Gajendra's thing and this speaker was telling, in humility, forget about Gajendra remembering his previous days or previous years. He remembered his last life's prayers that he had made. How is it that the Lord revealed the prayers that he was making as Maharaj Indradyumna in his previous life? And the point that was explained was because of his humility. When he took shelter, sarvasthichaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna is seated in everyone's heart. He says, I give knowledge, I give remembrance, I give the forgetfulness. If you want it, if you want it. What is guilt? When we feel guilty when we do something, what's guilt? Guilt is nothing but the Lord in the heart speaking, hey man, this is not what you asked for. Think about it. Think twice. And when we say, forget it, crush the guilt, we're creating an amazing, nice philosophy. Convenience, philosophy of convenience. You, whole world is doing it. And full philosophy of justification. Then Krishna says, oh, you don't want to hear me? I'll keep quiet. He won't speak after that. Therefore, a person can do such a shameless act and not feel guilty about it. And in fact, justify and say that I'm right. Paramatma has stopped speaking, stopped guiding because he doesn't want to listen. But if we cultivate that guilt, that doesn't mean we keep on feeling guilty. But a repentant heart, followed by the penance, not to repeat the same thing again, is actually telling that Paramatma, please, please, my Lord, continue to speak. Continue to speak. Tell me, what's the perfect thing to do? What's the right thing to do? So this point of instantly forget two things and always remember two things. Now, it was intellectually very nice, but somehow I couldn't follow it. But when I heard this particular pastime, then I was feeling, thinking, it's so easy for a devotee to do this, real devotee, a humble devotee to do this. Why? Because when he does something good to others, he never thinks he did it. He actually is convinced, I'm not the doer. It's Guru and Krishna, somehow by their greatness, use this insignificant, useless instrument to deliver something to you. That's his glory. So first of all, where is the question of credit if he has not done anything at all? He actually never feels, I did anything. And therefore, he never even remembers the good that he did. That, to others. And when others do something bad, he says, my Lord, tatenu kampam bhunjana evatma, I deserve millions of times more. Krishna, don't blame the instrument of your karma, as Prabhupada said. This is exactly, I don't understand. This person is helplessly moved by Krishna's will or by nature to give me what I deserve. In fact, not what, much more, I deserve much more, but this person is the only. So I don't blame, I don't hold it. It's a sign of humility and gratitude. Yeah, this is exactly what I need. Therefore, a person can go through a very diseased condition like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and saying this is Krishna's mercy. In fact, this is a loving embrace of Krishna. That's like too much. And always remember two things. Naturally, the faults that they did, how much I was given, I shouldn't have done this. And any good that others did, a grateful heart can only remember that. A person who is dependent, understands dependence. How can such a person be ever offensive to anyone? Whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita is just about this. Whole Brihad Bhagavatam is just developing the same thing. Every time Narada wants to know who has received the mercy of the Lord, he goes to the king, he goes to that Brahmana, then he goes to the South Indian king, and then he goes to Indra. Indra, and he glorifies Indra. I heard this person speaking, you're doing so much charity, so much doing this. I said, you know what I did? Read Bhagavatam, 10th canto. What all I did. Don't read other Puranas with glory of Indra, Yaswaha. Read Bhagavatam because that is a grantha, vastava vastu. It speaks as it is. The really real stuff. Vastava vastu. And then he goes to Brahma. Brahma also says, I stole, all recovered man. I forgot my Lord. The Lord Shiva. Shiva also, I fought with Bana, along with Banasura, I fought with Krishna. I'm a devotee. I'm not a devotee. Go to Prahlad. And it just builds on and builds on and builds on. No, that's Krishna's mercy. That happened. That's some good fortune, that's all. And Narada, when he saw this, out of his compassion, he knew exactly what medicine will work here. Because he was cursed by the Prajapatis. Okay, what is a curse? What is a curse? The curse is when what we think we have is taken away from us. What we think we have, what we think is ours, is taken away from us. That's a curse. Of which we are really proud, which is making us forget. So therefore, the Prajapatis mercifully just removed those things of which he was little proud. Dasyastu kasyaschana vedavadina. Kasyaschana of some lady. Every time when we discuss any great acharya, any great personality, any historical person, we always say, he was so and so, the Prime Minister of India, he was so and so, his father's name was this, and his mother's name was this. Always. giving credit where it is due to raise such a wonderful child. Every time we discuss the name of the parents, generally, always. But here, Narada says, Kasyaschana, some lady, some maidservant lady. He doesn't even tell his name on that day. I mean, on that life, in that life. I was Suresh, Mahesh, and Dinesh. I was a son of a maidservant. Nothing to take credit about. Nothing to be proud. Curse is when the carpet is pulled from under our feet. Straight away we fall on the ground and hit the nose. And we get up and look in the mirror. It's very painful. But it's actually a blessing. It's actually a blessing. Truly. Especially when it is personally meted out or personally given by the Lord or His pure devotee. Their action is only for compassion. Therefore, they are greater than demigods. Because demigods, if you ask them, they give you. If you beg for them, if you perform particular ritual, they give you. Vidyarthi labhate vidyam, dhanarthi labhate dhanam. You did this, okay. Shadbhir maase phalam labhet. 6 months you do, you did this, so I give this. But the pure devotees of the Lord, like the Westerners, devotees asked, what did we do? What did we do to receive this mercy? Did we do anything? No. He said, you had no qualification. I made your qualification. So it's a fact. You don't have to do anything. Still they come and, you know, shower their mercy. Even without asking for it. Even without even struggling for it. Forcefully someone hands us a book. Forcefully someone pushes prasad into our mouth. In the beginning stages. And mostly devotional service starts with a personal connection with a devotee. It's personal. Yeah, a book, a prasad, something may have attracted you. But what sustained us in Krishna consciousness is a personal touch of a person, of a devotee. Temple may impress, but a loving relationship sustains. It may impress in the beginning, but it can't sustain unless a person personally decides to show his mercy. That's Krishna's mercy through a Madhyamadhikari. He's praying. This person, like Mukunda was praying, only Nimai becomes a devotee. Everyone was thinking, my God is so talented. If only becomes a devotee. That's why Mahaprabhu exhibited through this pastime. He said, because all of you prayed, therefore I become a devotee. Otherwise, I had no qualification. So, because he was he had experienced from that demigod kind of intoxication, actually he had to be pulled down and ripped off of all those things of which a person is proud to actually come to see things in a proper perspective. And therefore he could immediately connect, relate to them. He says, I know exactly what will happen. Because the more common we have amongst each other, then we can relate to each other's difficulties. You know, sensitivity. A good preacher is also sensitive. Sensitive to see a person's needs, interests, concerns. Sensitivity is another quality of a devotee. It's highly sensitive. But this looks like highly insensitive act. Thoda na apne swimming pool mein main. I'm just asking you, why this person? First of all, what is the need for you to come here? You walked into our area. We are having a nice time and then you curse us. So it seems like a very insensitive act. Go to the wrong place at the wrong time and do the wrong thing. Curse a person in the name of compassion. I am a devotee. I want to rectify you. We can't imitate, of course. We can't imitate. If we were in Narada's position, chanting Hare Krishna for last 1.5 years, 16 rounds, somehow or other I made it. We would be like Maharaj Yayati before he was deeply realized. We would have gone there, sure enough, become envious of Nalkuvar and Madigiri, drunk a little and jumped in, tried to lift one of them, and then that person pulls a little because their conviction to enjoy is higher than our conviction to deliver. See, energy flows from high potential to low potential. A materialist is a person whose full 100% faith is in Maya. And our faith is 50-50. So if we go to deliver and that person convinces you are wasting your life, huh? Wasting your life. 1.5 hours every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What are you getting? Just see, man, I'm enjoying. Really? You may hang your bead bag. So, as our Rasamrita Maharaj says, preaching is like playing kabaddi with Maya. If you have not taken a deep breath, if you are really not trained up, if you are really not alert on your toes 24 hours, and if you try to show extra compassion, want to deliver the whole team, you may lose your breath and your life and never come back again. That's a fact. So we can't imitate these great souls. Radhika Vallabh made another very interesting point. He was, I think, quoting Maharaj Radhan Swami. He says, when Narada spoke, Krishna was obliged to reciprocate with that curse. Why? Because Narada was not cursing out of envy. He was not cursing out of anger. He was actually doing it in the mood of a servant of Krishna purely for their benefit. Therefore, even his thunderbolt was soft as a rose in the ultimate sense for those two, Nalukuvar and Manigriva. Therefore, it was even a thunderbolt seemed so pleasant at the end. Their thunderbolt and their rose, both are soft as a rose. Though the thunderbolt is a little painful and the rose is a little pleasing. Their loving glances, their loving embraces, their loving, encouraging words. This is like a rose. Sometimes their instructions while sitting on the Vyasasana is like a thunderbolt. Sometimes their chastisement is like a thunderbolt. Strong punishment. Mahaprabhu punishing Chota Haridas. I don't want to see him. Krishnadas, Kala Krishna. It was like a thunderbolt. But then, because they had only one intention, what is the best welfare for this individual? Just like a mother, sometimes she slaps a child, sometimes she kisses and loves and embraces a child. Both are an expression of her love for the welfare of the child. A foolish, ignorant child may curse the mother when she slaps. And when she embraces and, it's all show off. Afterwards, you're going to slap me, if I don't do my homework. Sometimes mothers have this difficulty. I can't relate to him because every time I have to play both the roles, Sometimes I have to slap him. And when I go to hug him, he says, maloom hai, kis liye kar rahe hai. So, Narada's genuinely... Why? There's another very nice point he made. He said, only a person who sees curse in his life as a blessing can actually curse and that can turn into a blessing. When Narada was cursed by Daksha, that you can't stay in one place. I curse you. Can't stay in one place. You'll be traveling all around. You'll be homeless. It was a curse for somebody to become, that you know, you become homeless. Can't stay in one place. Even if you have the best palace, you can't stay in one place. In one, more than, you know, few days. Narada saw it as a blessing. Wow, now I can preach. Mahaprabhu was cursed. You lose all your material life by that Brahmana who broke his thread. Mahaprabhu saw it as a blessing. Phew, that's exactly what I wanted. Thank you. You are giving an indication what I am supposed to do now. Take sannyas. So, both ways. Only a person who can see yaha sarvatra anabhisnehaha tattat prapya shubha ashubham na abhinandati na dveshti tasya pragya pratishthita. Such a person is, his pragya, his Krishna pragya, or his Krishna consciousness is perfectly situated. Seeing Krishna's hand behind every situation. In everything. He said, wow, this is exactly what is needed. So sensitivity is something. Sometimes we are expert in sending thunderbolts in the name of Prabhupada said. It's so easy to send thunderbolts. But then, unless we, because that sometimes it's the ego or the anger comes out as thunderbolt also. But then do we have that rose-like heart of genuine concern for the welfare of that other person? Only, have we proved it? First of all, have we proved it? Vidura had proved that he was a genuine welfare desirer or a genuine well-wisher of Dhritarashtra. Therefore, when he sent thunderbolts, Dhritarashtra actually liked it because like a surgery, removing all the extra cancerous tumor in his heart. He knew, I won't like what you say, but still I'll come to you. I want to hear because I know what you say is good for me. You are my only well-wisher. You speak what is best for me. I know because I'm diseased, I don't like it. When you have a boil and somebody touches and presses, it's painful. Painful means you have a boil. If it's ordinary skin, then somebody touches, no problem. But if you have a boil, even somebody comes 10 feet near, hey, wait, boil. Because you're so boil conscious. That anyone 10 feet around, you can know. Anyone coming closer to my boil. I don't want that. Because it hurts me. I don't want anybody to do surgery for it. I want somebody to blow on it. Feels so good. Thank you. You are my real friend. Duryodhana had many friends like that who would blow on his boil. But Vidura came always with a knife. Chalo kaatta, permanently nikalta. It was not liked. But the proof is Vidura came back again only with a single purpose. Single purpose. One pointed. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Only one thing. Not to stay in the palace again. He said, I just want to deliver this brother of mine, Dhritarashtra. And he spoke such harsh, piercing words. But then he followed. He had the result. The proof, if you are really a mature preacher, is when we send thunderbolts, do we get the result? If you don't get the result, that means something is wrong. Eventually, the result should be there. Phalena parichiyate. By the fruits, one can judge whether the intention or the action, the intention, everything was correct. So Narada had that genuine compassion. One devotee expressed very nicely, what is maturity? Maturity is balance between courageous and consideration. Or being bold and sensitive at the same time. One has to be courageous to speak the truth. To speak the truth, call a fool It takes a lot of courage to speak. Go in front of a person and even whether he's a, whoever he is, say, you are a fool, sir. But then you may not have the required result. He may chop your head off. You may have a reverse result. So therefore, the consideration of time, place, circumstance, how to tell, in what way, so that the desired result is brought. If you are not sure of the result, better not show that so-called courage. Fools dare where the angels fear to tread. That zone may not be very ideal. So Narada genuinely had concern. And he was sensitive. They were so thick-skinned. Actually, in one particular class, I think Radhika Vallabh Prabhu explained very nicely this point. He said, just like, can you imagine, when we come to the temple, he was talking about Kanishtha, Madhyama and Uttama Adhikari. A Kanishtha Adhikari is one who becomes God-conscious only in the temple. He requires a powerful presence, a deity's presence suddenly. You know, naturally, that subordination comes, the awe and reverence, respect. While we go out of the temple, then we are back to square one. Hey, yeah. We think we are the master again. So, or on the day, Janmashtami, everyone comes for Mangalarti. Very good. Because it's a very special day. Very nice day. It's good. Or when we go to some holy place, we have halo around the head. We feel, want to be. That's why a lot of people, beggars sit there, because people are more charitable in the holy places. For many reasons. Maybe for some benefit, whatever. But at that time, they are more in the mood of giving. So they are conscious of the glory of the Lord and the power of devotion and their position of insignificance. So for a Kanishtha, a presence of a holy place like a temple, the deities or a holy personality or a holy day or a holy abode is necessary for us to, you know, become holy or become godly, at least for some time, so that it can remain later. But for a pure devotee of the Lord, for an Uttam Adhikari, he can remain anywhere he goes. He sees Krishna everywhere. He sees Krishna everywhere. In fact, Jananivas Prabhu made a very nice statement. He said, a genuine pujari of the Lord, a Kanishtha pujari sees the Lord only in the temple. But a high level or a purified pujari sees his worshipable Lord everywhere, in the front, in the back, in the side, in the left and in the right, in every person that he comes across. Such a person is actually, you know, gradually. So therefore, the scriptures tell us, first at least begin to see Krishna in the temple. Before you see in every place, Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantra, like Prahlad Maharaj. He's there everywhere, yes. He's there in the pillar also. And Madhyama Adhikari means, like for example, when we go to Yatra, when we go to the temple, why we come to a temple every week? Because we need charging of our batteries. Because if we don't, then that consciousness may not prevail, especially in such a discharging atmosphere, strongly surcharged with the mode of passion and ignorance. It's very difficult to maintain and retain this consciousness. Therefore, we need. That's a Madhyama Adhikari. He realizes. And he carries this consciousness as far as possible, as long as possible, as much as possible, throughout the rest of the day, rest of the week. That's why when we go to the holy place, we are told, at least here, don't talk any prajalpa, don't do this, fully absorb. You have come for only purpose of a holy place visit is purification. Let's focus on why we have come here. Let's focus on purification. Let's not do any other thing which we anyway do after we go back. And having experienced that influence, that atmosphere, at the end we are told, please now when you go back, try to retain as much as you can of what you have absorbed. So anukula, shuddha bhakata charana renu bhajana anukula, bhakata seva paramasiddhi, madhavatithi bhakati janani. No, so many anukula things. All these are anukula. Now, the ladies who were taking bath along with Nalakura and Manigriva, they were at least Kanishtha Adhikaris. They were enjoying their senses, but when they saw Narada, a holy person coming, they realized this is not appropriate. They were at least Kanishtha. Nalakura and Manigriva had fallen lower than Kanishtha. They didn't care. They had such thick covering. Very difficult to penetrate. And therefore, when you have a thick covering to penetrate, the instrument that you use has to be really sharp and really penetrate. It has to be intense. Very mercifully, Narada knew exactly what kind of injection to use to penetrate the thick skin so that the fluid of his mercy can penetrate the skin and still go and touch the heart inside. It seems very strong, but that's exactly what they needed. And he had the power to back up his words because he knew he was not doing it any other intention other than this is the best thing that will please Krishna and convinced that this is exactly what Krishna wants. We can't imitate unless we are on that platform. But at least we can be madhyama to carefully avoid such situations. Not to go and try to show compassion there. But the fact that's how he could immediately relate. Connect. Because Narada had experienced when he was cursed, he became the son of a maid servant. So much humble. So there are so many wonderful realizations that's brought out by devotees. Another very good point was made yesterday by Kesho Prabhu. Generally, whenever I meet people who are quite well-to-do, they ask this question. Sincere people, those who are really genuine, they ask this question. Prabhuji, we have to be ambitious. But then you are told, don't be greedy. What's the line, where is the line? Which is greed and which is ambition? We have to be ambitious. We have to succeed in life. That's the goal of life, to succeed in life. Yesterday he gave a nice formula. He was able to immediately connect. He said, greed is when your ambition crosses the line of ethics. Line of ethics is the Lakshman Rekha. Till then it's okay. Necessity, okay. Ambition, okay. Success, okay. But at what cost? It's like the line of ethics. Who is to draw the line of ethics? That's the $1 million question. Who draws the line? I have spoken many times, but when I was young, in school days, I saw a cartoon picture. Drawing. Two boys shooting arrows at a target. Bullseye, the bullseye and around that. So one fellow is shooting arrows, hitting the seventh circle, then fourth, and the third, and the sixth. But he's not able to penetrate the bullseye. He's trying his best, poor fellow. And the second fellow shoots an arrow. Bullseye. 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 Wow. Maybe a world champion? The next picture shows. What he does, he shoots an arrow on the board, and wherever it hits, he draws a bullseye around it. So a greedy man can shoot an arrow, and wherever it hits, he makes a philosophy. The center point of that is his action. That's a philosophy of convenience. Code of ethics made by your own self. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The Lord has set the target, not you. The laws cannot be changed by our whims and fancies. The stringent laws of nature, they are perfect. For all time to come, for all people, in all circumstances, in all condition. The Lord has already made. This is it. And they are universal. It's not a question of Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Parsi, anything. These laws are universal. And what is the highest morality? Prabhupada writes in his BTG founder, many years before he even went to abroad, he wrote this, BTG, small articles he would say. And one title of one article was Standard Morality. What is standard morality? Morality is the standard of activity by which the supreme authority is satisfied. Morality is the standard of activity by which the supreme authority is satisfied. Swanushthitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. If the Lord is satisfied, it's right. Because he is dharma personified. Therefore, when he said, kill Karna when he is helplessly trying to lift his chariot wheel. Kill Duryodhana under the belt, hitting me under the belt. Yudhishthir, tell lie that Ashwatthama is dead. Ah! Moral people are shaken up. What? And you consider him to be the Lord? The Lord wants to show. Are you attached to morality just to be considered a very highly moral and very, or do you want to please me? Because he knows exactly what is dharma. And the essence of dharma is to please the Lord. It's a very dynamic thing. Dharma is not some static statement, dead and gone, some scriptural statement written age old by some sages in, you know, some leaves, palm leaves, they are no more relevant in the day of mobiles and, you know, all kinds of. No. The laws are dynamic. They are dynamic, but simultaneously, they are steady. It's not that they keep changing. Their application changes. Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In each yuga, its application changes. In Satyuga, its application was different. In Treta, because of the Yuga, its application is different. Application changes. Essence is the same. And to know the application, you need actually a guidance under a professor. So, to draw the line of ethics, two things are important. Number one, regular sadhana. Because sadhana cleanses your heart and allows the Paramatma to speak to you and inform you. Keep your Paramatma's voice loud and strong. Network should be always in connection. And secondly, to confirm whether it is Paramatma speaking or somebody else speaking, my greed speaking, my lust speaking, confirm it with another authority in the front. That means association of devotees. Whether it is lust, whether it is anger, greed, envy, pride, whatever. Is our action motivated by this in the name of success and the fame of justifying everything? Or are we really trying to do it in a way, genuinely trying to please Krishna? If you have a good sadhana, That means reading and hearing. It's amazing when you are desperately chanting Hare Krishna and wanting a solution. After that, pick up the Bhagavatam. Pick up any page you want from any canto and read any verse, whether it is translation, whether it is purport. At least I can guarantee for myself I have found it. When you are eager, when you are desperate, because Krishna is non-different from Bhagavatam, any statement, anything can immediately give you the solution for what you are looking. Why? Because Krishna pops out of the Bhagavatam and says, hey, listen, what your Paramatma said, not this statement, that is confirmed. Because Bhagavatam is actually Krishna. Angani yascha sakalendri vritti manti. Any word of Bhagavatam is non-different from any other verse. Solution is there, solution is not there. It's there. Krishna reciprocate. That word will, if the Paramatma will give the purport to that verse. Even if it says, Mahatattva has only 25 ingredients. Ah, but this is not what I'm looking for. No, one can become many. One can become many. Many can become one. Try to see Krishna in that one. Who can become many? Eko bahushyamaha. You see the tree. The leaf is also the tree. The root is also the tree. Try to see Krishna within that. Something. Krishna will give you the intelligence and the purport also. Smritir jnanam. Then the line is very clear. Provided we are ready to hear. But that requires humility. If you are egoistic, tendency of ego is to become independent. And born out of humility is dependence. Dependence on the Lord's mercy. Coming through the holy name, coming through the scriptures, coming through his devotees. Then every element of creation can speak the truth to us. Because Krishna is everywhere. The Avadhut Brahman, he saw the ocean. The ocean spoke some truth to him. Earth spoke some truth. A pigeon spoke some truth. A prostitute Pingala spoke the truth to him. Because his intelligence was purified and he was receptive. Anyway, these are some few thoughts. If there is any questions, we can take a couple of them. Yes, Braj Vihari Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, in your lecture you were mentioning that preaching is like playing kabaddi. Preaching is like playing kabaddi. So, and you mentioned that if you try to venture out too much and try to release so many fallen souls, you yourself can have a spiritual death. As it is in Kali Yuga, we have a tendency to always be within a comfort zone and not venture out. Already we are conditioned that way. And in one sense, like the understanding you're giving, if you try to venture out too much, you can have a spiritual death ourselves. So how to know on a personal level when we are preaching, which is my limit, how much to venture, how to know on a personal level, how much to venture out so that we don't have a spiritual death ourselves.
Devotee's heart is like a well. A well is meant to give water to others. A well that does not give water stagnates, stinks and becomes putrid and stale. You have to take off water regularly. But to give water, you need to have. That means the well should be allowed to fill up regularly. Otherwise, if a pump is put and, you know, 60 HP water, pump is put and then you put the tube inside, 24 hours, the well will go empty, dry. So if you are preaching, you will feel dryness. If preaching means to give. To give, you must have, na? So there should be a time to fill up the well. Some part of the day is filling up the well. Filling up is sadhana. This is the time to fill up. When we discuss Bhagavatam, it is the time to fill up. When we chant the holy name, it is the time to fill up. Then go and share it. Then it will actually quench the thirst because there is some substance. And for the well to fill up, the well has to have some groundwater somewhere. In a dry place, sometimes you dig 200 feet, 400 bore well. The well has to be connected to a big source of water. And that is connection to Srimad Bhagavatam, the book Bhagavat, and the person Bhagavat. The book Bhagavat is Rasamalayam. It is full of juice. And a person Bhagavat, a devotee of the Lord, exalted devotee of the Lord, the hearing them is like filling up the well. So Jivedaya. To Jivedaya, you have to have Name Ruchi. If you don't have Ruchi, how can you give to others? Even if you give, it won't transform their heart because you yourself don't have faith in what you're speaking. Faith begets faith. Sometimes we may not speak a word, but our action speaks. By simply coming and sitting every Sunday morning here, you are preaching loudly that to me this is important. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam. You're preaching. Preaching doesn't mean only speaking. Like I think Saint, one of the saints of Christian, I forget his name, very famous, who had this special hairstyle. He has a whole following. It's good. Anyway, he says, preach, 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 preach throughout the day. And if necessary, speak a few words also. Every action of ours is preaching. What priorities we make in life, we are preaching. A housewife is preaching. If she says, first thing in the morning, she gives priority to certain things, the child is watching. My mother wouldn't does it, you know, before she does this, she won't do anything. At least my mother, I knew. She would wake up first thing in the morning, she would just take a bath, and she would do her, you know, kind of puja and all that, and write some Ram Nam and read Bhagavad Gita. Unless she did this, she wouldn't go into the kitchen. So she didn't preach anything, but by that action, I realized this. She won't be available now. When she does that, you can't approach her. She has to finish that. And during the birthday, she hold my ears, go to temple. Birthday, nahi, cake. Go there, ask blessings from this person. Fall at his feet. Jai jai karo beta. Ghusa, chara, ghusa. Because we should not overdo it. Bolo Prabhuji, bolo sudro isko. Sola mala karne ko bolo. It's like a little too much, but action. Certain things. What are you prioritizing? That actually speaks. So, Name Ruchi. To give Jivedaya, you have to have Name Ruchi. And to have Ruchi, Shushusho Shadadanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, Syat Mahat Sevaya Vipra, Punyatirtha Nishevanat. So, by serving the great devotees, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat, one gets nourished. Our heart is filled, just like Dukhi. Dukhi, in that Chaitanya Charitamrita Leela, during the Mahaprakash Leela, she was simply, whatever little service was given to her, her service was, Abhishek is going on, and she is told, stand outside, all the empty pots will come, you have to fill up and bring it there. 21 hours of the pastime. She never came in. She was focused on her seva. She was doing that. I'm giving this, I'll do this. Nobody noticed this. Mahaprabhu noticed. He called her. And he said, your name is Dukhi, it must be Sukhi. And filled her heart with it was overflowing. The well was overflowing. And when the well overflowed, there are all the ecstatic symptoms. She was ecstatic. Bhava. By that service, actually our connection with Prabhupada is whatever little service we are given, we take it as our life and soul. So through that service, actually we are in touch. That's our nourishment. So that comes, then we have life, there is some substance. Then, whatever we say, whatever we do, it's not just the words, but the substance that is transferred actually. And that'll, Krishna will do the needful. We just have to do whatever is at that time best inspiring to us. Is that okay? Very difficult to satisfy Srivas Thakur Prabhu. But this now. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, you were mentioning about a preacher has to be sensitive because people have different needs, you were saying. One problem I often face is while preaching, very few people, you know, especially when we are preaching to new people, very rarely are the people who are actually looking for Krishna, in the sense they want to know answers to technical questions, they want to understand about karma and God and things like that. Most people, they come, but nowadays they are very open also. They have many other needs, you know, like they may have health issues, career needs, and for their children, and so many other social, so many things are there. So we want to build a bridge, we want to connect to them. So we try to take care of their needs, and in the sense we address them through different forums, or we have some devotees who can do career counseling, we can, like that, we try to connect them so that their needs are addressed and they practice devotional service. So my question is that sometimes I get a fear that maybe when we are trying to address these needs, are we not subtly encouraging them that, okay, you know, Krishna consciousness, and then these needs will be fulfilled and you can do better sense gratification. Basically, instead of telling them about the actual Krishna conscious philosophy, we may be actually compromising to a certain extent and giving them the feeling that, yes, Krishna consciousness, if we do, then our material life will go on better and better and better. So how do we draw the line? How do we communicate clearly the philosophy at the same time, not ignore their material needs also?
One is the substance, and another one is the packaging. So, genuinely caring for someone it may seem material. Sometimes Prabhupada said, oh, you're not take this. You write a prescription. You have a stomach problem, do this. You know? So you may be addressing the needs of the soul, but if the body and the mind is not receptive, it won't have the required effect. So sometimes to actually, you know, do that, we may address their immediate needs. Just the effort to take the trouble to address those needs itself shows your genuine concern for that living entity. And then, by your action, by your words, you are showing that it's not me who is doing it, it's Krishna's mercy, that's all. Whatever I'm giving you is coming from Krishna. Be grateful to him. So they can see that connection to Krishna eventually through that. But sometimes, if there is tremendous anxiety, they can't understand philosophy. Just like to Mahaprabhu, one devotee came. He was very disturbed. I think Shivanand Sen's son, he came and he did not remove the upper cloth. Srikant, right? He came. He came to Mahaprabhu and he did not remove the upper cloth, and Govinda or somebody else, he said, don't. He's disturbed right now. You try to tell him, he won't understand all that. He pacified him, and then when he became receptive, then he told. So it's like the immediate need. So let first address the immediate need. Otherwise, you know, you are your own, you're in your own world that, you know, you don't see the connection. I mean, yeah, we are not the body, but we are in this body. We are not the body, but we are in this body. So we can't neglect the body as long as we are in the body. And therefore, the needs of the body has to be taken care of in connection with the needs of the soul. Because one can't sustain in devotional service without all the needs being. People have to be. Varnashram is a platform where sustained devotional service can be done. And Varnashram means the body needs protection, maintenance. Otherwise, there is tremendous anxiety. The mind needs engagement according to nature and propensity. The ego, not the false ego, the sense of self, needs appreciation, encouragement, and respect. If we come in an atmosphere where we feel secure, where we know that the whole family is there, even though they may not maybe every time financially and physically help, but they're all there for me. There is a sense of security. And if you are engaged according to our own propensity, we are happy, because otherwise like a square peg put in a round hole, you know, not a proper situation. That's mental steady position. Mentally you are steady, physically you are stable and secure, and on the platform of the subtle self, we need encouragement, we need appreciation, we need respect. That's what Varnashram was all about. Whether you are a Shudra, whether you are whoever, everyone was serving the Lord and everyone was appreciated for their unique contribution to the whole society. And to see that unity in that diversity is to see Krishna in everyone. Actually, we respect for their unique contribution. They feel appreciated, they feel recognized. Not recognized in terms of recognition, but acknowledge, a sense of self-worth. A devotee never looks for it. But that's the need of the soul. As that example is always there of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur said, "My Lord, I don't want to see your departure. I want to leave this world." Mahaprabhu came that day and glorified him as if he had 100 mouths. And he's telling, "My Lord, I want to go." How will you, if you go, what will happen to me? You know, without you, my life will be a void. That's what Mahaprabhu is telling. You're such a unique. And Haridas Thakur said, "Lord, don't put me in illusion. There are billions and billions. I'm like an ant. What if an ant goes? Who cares? Don't put me in this illusion." But still, when we read that, how much the Lord loves his devotee. The Lord is so personal. You know, every service rendered, he remembers. We may forget, he will forget. Lifetimes back rendered. So the Lord is so personal, so encouraging, so protective. "Don't worry, my child. Aham tvam sarva moksha mashucha." So that anxiety is there, that giving, relieving that. Very rare soul can directly see Krishna and sustain and go along. 99% of the people, we are not on that platform. We need a platform. Very few people can get onto the train without the platform. The platform is created so that comfortably we can get into the train. So Varnashram is that platform. And what is Varnashram? Not Brahmana, Kshatriya, label, not that. Everyone appreciates and respects others' unique contribution for our wholesale well-being. Somebody may be doing an insignificant task. Somebody may be doing seemingly a very important task. The fruit is so important. In the tree. The whole tree is grown just for the fruit. Can you imagine without the roots, the tree existing? If the fruit says, "I'm important." What are the root? It's under the ground. Anyway, nobody can see it also. This is every part of the tree. Bahuru, you know, the face of the Lord is the Brahmanas. The administrative power is Krishna's power. Without empowered by Vishnu, one can't administer. Then the Vaishya and then the Shudra, it's all proper. And they are all appreciated and respected. It's an artificial society. Only such people are respected. Only doctors and engineers. Otherwise, you're a failure. So everyone wants to become the driver. Nobody wants to become the conductor and the passenger. It's a problem. Imbalanced society. So according to the natural things, so this is a whole, of course, in and of itself, when Ramanand Rai told, suggested Varnashram, Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bahya Aage Koho Aar. When he rejected, he said, in and of itself, that's not the goal of spirituality. Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. But it's a mode of goodness. I think 11th canto, purport, Gopi Pranandan Prabhu, I think, whoever wrote that. He said, mode of goodness is like an airport in New York. And you want to go to San Francisco. So if you have come to the airport, you are the most favorable position to take a flight to San Francisco. But just if you come to New York airport and you say, I am better than all the others. No, you are still in New York. Whether you are in the airport or in the train station or anywhere, or you are standing in, you know, wherever. But you are in the same place. So it's a favorable condition to go ahead, actually. Not all, the large mass of people can't sustain devotional service for a longer time till the last breath of their life if things are not so favorable, because we are not so strong. We are not, our conviction is not so strong. And the Lord will not test us like Prahlad. Let me put you in boiling oil. Let me see whether you chant Hare Krishna. Arey, without oil also we find it so difficult to chant. If there is extra food in the oil, we don't feel like chanting Hare. How can we, you know? So, a favorable environment, suitable environment, a conducive environment is favorable. Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. This is anukul. So the larger number of devotees can develop faith and move ahead. I would like to conclude with, you know, one just statement. It says, there are so many difficulties, temptations, distractions and obstacles outside to come to Krishna consciousness. So just to come to the association of devotees, that is such a struggle. What to speak of staying there? And more than that, what to speak of advancing? There will always be obstacles, there will always be distractions, there will always be temptations. So therefore, we need to have a solid background. You know, you can become self-realized in a local train, Mumbai local. You know, if you are going to Mira Road at 5 o'clock and you want to get down, and you there's a Virar train you try to take at 5 o'clock and want to get down at Borivali. Only those who are traveled can appreciate what I'm saying. You want to go to Borivali, you take a train to Virar at 5 o'clock. And try to get on at Borivali. There are 100 people wanting to get in, and you are the only one wanting to get out amongst people who are pushing you. They don't even want you to. And there are, all this has to happen in 5 seconds. You have to see that person, poor fellow who wants to get. First time some villager has come, he doesn't know, and he's trying to get out. Just see, that's like a devotee in outside material world. If you want to know his situation, graphically, photograph our situation. See that person getting down and trying to get down in Borivali in a Virar train at 5:30 p.m. very rare that he comes out. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yad yadatam api kaschid mam veti tattvada. And even if he comes out, my God, if he's in one piece and does not come in installments, bag is gone, specs is gone. Somehow, you know, sar salamat to pagadi hazar. It's like that. It's so difficult, you know, struggling. But a favorable environment is much more better, where that kind of security is there, where that encouragement is there, where respect is there, where appreciation is there. So it's much more favorable to progress. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Rashi Mad Bhagavatam ki, Nithai Gaur Premanandi.